Come on, I want you to stand to your feet just for a moment, real quick. Come on, stand to your feet. And our praise team, let me be a little braggadocious for a moment. Our praise team is the best praise team in the Northeast. So, and they have done such an amazing job. Maya Allen, the musicians, singers, one or two singers aren't with us. But listen, they put so much energy and effort. I mean, you see what came out on last Sunday morning, crazy. And so last Sunday of 2019, let's show some appreciation to them. Come on now. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Absolutely amazing, all of you. We're going to open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And with the Lord's help and a little bit of spirit utterance, we're going to try to communicate what the Spirit of God is speaking to us regarding 2020. Starting in verse 46, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. One translation says, Jesus stood still and called for the man. So they called to the blind man. They said, "Cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet. He came running to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed along Jesus along the road. Heavenly Father, just please, we ask you to just help us. Bring some clarity, make the word palatable to receive, and that it would be clear what you're saying to those who have an ear to hear for 2020, in Jesus' name. Now, this is one of the great stories in Scripture where the Lord is treading upon the head of the serpent, right? Come on, Merry Christmas, everybody. And this is one of those texts and stories. He's causing the blind to see. I mean, come on now. It doesn't get better than that. And so we see here in the text that Jesus and his disciples, along with a large crowd following them, they were leaving the city of Jericho, and there was a man that was seated on the side of the road. He sits there, and he's a beggar man named Bartimaeus. Now, he's not just a beggar. You see, his condition is a bit more complex than that. He's a blind beggar, or we could say it this way. He's a beggar because he's blind. That's why he's begging on the side of the road, because the man has no sight. Now, Bartimaeus is his name, and that name actually means, some of these things I just found out this week by doing a deeper study. I never knew this, but the name Bartimaeus means son of the unclean. Son of the unclean. Now, theologians tell us that it's very possible that this might most likely is not his original birth name, but it was a name that was given to him by the people of the city, son of the unclean, Bartimaeus, to identify him as an unclean person according to the law of Moses. So Bartimaeus was unclean. He was unclean because he could not see. Now, what makes matters worse is because he's unclean, according to the law of Moses, He was cut off from the temple worship. Or we could say he was separated or segregated from worshiping God in the temple. According to the law of Moses, anybody that was blind was considered unclean. They were not allowed to go into temple worship. And so here is this unclean, blind beggar on the side of the road. And all he could hear in these moments was the commotion of the very large crowd that was following them as they left Jericho, passing by Bartimaeus on the side of the road. And he just kept on hearing people calling out to Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And Bartimaeus realizes that this is the one that everyone is talking about in Judea. I mean, this is the miracle worker from Galilee. And even Bartimaeus knew that some people believed that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And he's here. He's among us. He's leaving Jericho, passing by the blind man. And when Bartimaeus hears that this is Jesus of Nazareth, he begins to cry at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And it says that many of them, and probably some of the disciples were in the many of them, began to rebuke the blind man, the blind beggar. Began to tell him, "Listen, you're yelling too loud. You're causing a commotion. I mean, settle down a little bit, blind man. I mean, why are you yelling so loud? And why are you making so much noise? Can't you be a little bit more dignified?" But Bartimaeus cried even louder. It said, even the more, it says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, no, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the text says something interesting. It says that Jesus stood still when he heard his cry. Now, it's my understanding, as I looked at some of the scriptures this week, this was the only time in scripture that something so significant, something so important happened that arrested Jesus' attention in such a way that it caused him to just stand still in his tracks. Well, it's happening. This is it right here. And you see, the reason why Jesus stands still is because he hears the cry of somebody that is desperate. It's not coming out of his head. It's not finally articulated to sound just right. It's coming from his guts. It's a passion that's coming from the deepest place of his life. You could see that this man wasn't concerned about what he looked like or what people thought about him. He wasn't concerned about making a fool out of himself in the presence of Jesus. He wasn't concerned about his dignity. I mean, there's a need here. And there's a miracle man that's walking by me. Forget everybody. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You could tell that this man cried in the deepest place of his heart because he wanted to see. More than anything else in life, he wanted this one thing. He wanted his vision. He wanted his eyes to be open. He wasn't asking or requesting the Lord to deliver him from poverty. He wasn't asking for Jesus to change the law of Moses and make an addendum so that blind men and women can participate in the temple worship. No. He wasn't asking Jesus to remove the stigma of his past being a blind man. No, he wanted something that was deeper, something more. Those things are important, but what he wanted was he wanted to see. You see, when you are blind, it complicates your entire life. Blindness is the root of many daunting challenges. And in this case, you could see it. In this case, it caused him to be a beggar. It caused him to be discriminated from the temple worship. It caused him to have a stigma. When people called his name, they thought of the unclean person. And so he's crying out for his deepest need, and Jesus is arrested by the desperate cry of this blind man, and he stands still. He tells the disciples, "Get that man." And they run to Bartimaeus and said, "The master wants to see you. Get up." And the Bible says that Bartimaeus throws off his garment. He throws off his cloak. He jumps to his feet. And with the help of others, he's running towards Jesus of Nazareth. And we see the cloak again. We see the garment again in Scripture. We understand what that represents. The garment represents identity. Do you remember when Achan took the Babylonian garment and hid it in his hand? It spoke of the identity of a Babylonian. We talked significantly about that. When Joseph had the coat of many colors and he wore it, it spoke about the honor of the father in Joseph's life. It was his identity. And here the blind man is wearing a cloak. And it's in the scripture because the Spirit of God wants you to see again that he has an identity attached to his condition. And when he hears that Jesus wants to see him, he throws this identity off of himself. And he runs to Jesus. And he, if there's one thing that he's expecting today, he's expecting this day to be the first day of the rest of his life. And the blind man throws aside his old identity. He runs to the one that can give him sight. Jesus says, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" Come on now. As if Jesus didn't know, he knew exactly what this man needed. But there's just something about this. It's like Jesus wants us to articulate. He wants to hear from the deepest part of our soul. He wants to hear something come from our guts. And he wants the man to let it out of his mouth. "Tell me, blind man, what is it that you want?" Bartimaeus says, "I want to see. More than anything in life, I want vision. I want to see like others see. Give me my sight." Jesus opens up the blind man's eyes. Gives him sight to see. Now, that's my introduction to say Jesus is about to open the eyes of the blind in 2020. We have a rhema word, and this is so from God. It's not just our word, because this is a word that's popping out all over the body of Christ for a few weeks now. That 2020 is the year of 2020 vision. It's a prophetic year. It's a prophetic year for the body of Christ. And if there is one thing that we need in 2020, all of us, we need the ability to see. Now, not just see, but we need to have 2020 vision. Big difference, folks. I'm sure when Bartimaeus had his eyes restored, he wasn't seeing blurry. He wasn't looking around for a pair of specs to wear. Jesus gave him a vision, but Jesus gave him, I believe, crisp, clear, accurate vision without specs. Come on now. 2020 is the year for 2020 vision. You see, not everybody that has vision, not everybody that can see has 2020 vision. Where'd y'all go? Not anybody that can, everybody. It's got 2020 vision's different. You see, these weren't, I didn't always have these babies, these bad boys. You see, when I hit 40, 41, I don't know how it happened with you who wear glasses, but for me, it started with what's happening to my food. My macaroni don't look right. Does your macaroni look like that? I mean, it looks fuzzy. Is this fuzzy macaroni? I mean, what is this? And so my food on my plate just started to get a little blurry. And then I started noticing that when I would read small print, where I used to read from here, now I'm going like this. I'm squinting. I'm pulling out. Come on now. Come on now. You know how it is, right? And somebody said to me, Pastor Rob, maybe you need glasses. And I'm like, I go right into denial with that. What are you talking about? I got perfect vision. Come on, look, let me read. I'll read that back out there. And, you know, I could read. I was farsighted, man. I could read it out there. But now, man, I started getting all messed up. And I went right into denial. And I started struggling with this thing for almost 2 years. One day I was in my office, and I was reading my Bible, and my eyes started to hurt. And I got this big magnifying glass. You know those big, you know, kind of like decoration things with a big handle on it. I reached over and grabbed it, and I put it on my Bible. Wow! It was like, oh my God, it took my breath away. It's like, really? Like, that's how my eyes are? Come on now. Some of you just got to face the facts. Come on. Some of you got to face the facts. You might need a little help right now. Come on. It's not enough to see. You've got to see with clarity. You've got to see with sharpness. I'm spiritually speaking right now. God is going to restore sight to people who do not see. Come on now. This is a season of sight, spiritually speaking, for His church. The Bible has so much to say about blindness. I mean, it's amazing. Ned, I did it this week. I was Googling the word blindness in the scripture. It's crazy how much the Bible speaks about. Now, most of it is not talking about physical blindness, although a lot of it does. But most of it is speaking about spiritual blindness. Not being able to see with the spiritual senses of your sight. I ran across some scriptures. For instance, in Acts chapter 26, when the Lord came to Saul of Tarsus and he was converted, he started to tell him a little bit about what his ministry would be like. And he said, Saul, I called you to the Gentiles. He said, for this reason, listen, to open up their eyes. So he's talking about the Gentiles were spiritually blind. They could not see who the Christ was. Very similar to Pastor Gale's exhortation. You know, the believers, the religious Pharisees, the ones that should have seen, they were the most blind. Come on now. Man, here, look at this. Paul, the Lord told Paul that you're sent to the Gentiles so that they would receive their sight, and that they would be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they would receive forgiveness of their sins and be a part of the community of faith. So you could see, even here, it's very complex when you cannot see. Even here, the Gentiles can't see. And because of that, they are in darkness. Come on now. They are under the power of Satan. Their sins are held against them. They're not part of the larger context of the community of faith. So you can see spiritual blindness has many complicated, daunting repercussions attached to it. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, believers now, spirit-filled believers who were not seeing clearly. And Paul is praying for them that the eyes of their heart would be opened. Come on now. In other words, many in the church could not see spiritually. They confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they were spiritually blind. And because of this, many repercussions that were negative were attached to it. And Paul said, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart or spirit would be open, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. Come on now. You can't know your calling. You can't know what your purpose is. You can't know your design. You can't know your reason to live until you have spiritual eyes. Until your eyes, the eyes of your spirit are open that you can see. Come on now. God wants you to get into this new decade with purpose. Come on now. He wants you to be sure about your identity. He wants you to see who He is. He wants you to see with clarity who He's created you to be. He wants you to be settled in your design. He wants you to see so that you will live this next decade on purpose. You cannot know the hope of your calling when you cannot see spiritually. I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it talked about blindness when one is under the curse of the law, but not physical blindness. It was a spiritual condition in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it was coupled with confusion and vexation of the mind. And so it started to talk about in Deuteronomy 28 about one that is groping in the midday hour. As a blind man gropes and tries to find his way on the right path. That's what it's saying. He's saying when you are spiritually blind, you are like a blind person who is groping even in the most favorable conditions. In the midday hour, when we should be able to find our way easily where we want to go. But the blind man gropes. The spiritually blind person that cannot see clearly, Deuteronomy says, is like the blind man. Confusion, vexation of mind, groping in the most favorable conditions. He cannot find the right course, the safe course to travel. Come on now, in 2020... Come on, it's got to be different. We need to know where we're going. Come on, we can't waste any more time. Come on now, we can't waste time groping like a blind man with confusion, vexation of mind, not really having any purpose or any aim or any direction in life. Let me make this decree right now. Let me do it. If not for you, I'll do it for myself. No more groping like a blind man in the dark in 2020. No more wanderously, aimlessly walking and living life, getting nowhere in 2020. No more confusion of mind. No more vexation of the mind. No more wasted time because we cannot see the map clearly. No more guessing about our future. No more guessing about our purpose. No more casualties that are unnecessary and injuries and setbacks because we're groping like a blind man. No, not in 2020. God is about to open up my eyes in the name of Jesus. You see, for some of you, it's going to be a shocker. Because some of you living in denial like I was. And the moment you put them new specs on, it's going to take your breath away. Man, I can't believe I couldn't see all that time. I couldn't see clearly all that time. God, thank you, God. If it weren't for your mercy, I'd still be groping in the midday hour. God, thank you for giving me sight. I'm telling you, I don't know much about optometry. But I'm going to make believe for a moment that I'm intelligent. Because I Googled 2020 vision and found some interesting spiritual applications about optometry. The term 2020 vision speaks about, and here's a technical term, visual acuity. Visual acuity. Visual acuity basically just means seeing with clarity and sharpness of vision. 2020 vision says I have visual acuity. I can see with clarity and sharpness. But as I began to dig in a little bit deeper regarding optometry, I found out that visual acuity is measured by several things at work in our lives. I don't have time to flesh it out. Not because I don't have the time, because I don't have the knowledge, really. So let's be honest. But I'm going to give you little snippets of these different type of things that are used as measuring tools for visual acuity. The first one is peripheral vision. I think we all know what peripheral vision is. It's the ability to have wide-angle field of vision. In other words, when I'm looking or focused on something that's ahead of me, I can see things, peripheral vision, I see things around me. Come on now. When you have 20/20 vision, you can see the bigger picture. Oh, man, I'm telling you, 2020, listen, some of you only see yourself. Come on. Some of you only concerned about yourself. Come on now. In 2020, if you really mean business, you want your eyes to be open, you want 20/20 vision, God's got to give you peripheral vision. He wants you to see your life in the bigger picture. Hello. He wants you to see your life in the greater context. Man, that's some preaching ground right there. Come on, some of this stuff we're going to flesh out in the new year. But also, peripheral vision also means that we could see what's happening in our environment so things don't take us by surprise. Whether it be a car that's coming from this direction or a person that's coming from this direction, even though your focus is there, you have vision that goes around. Come on now. 2020, God doesn't want you to be taken by surprise, but you need 20/20 vision. Peripheral vision means that you will not be taken by surprise. I claimed that baby already. That's already mine. Come on. Give me 20/20 vision, God. Here, let me give you another one. It also means eye coordination, visual acuity. Now, eye coordination is the ability to see your eyes working together, two eyes, as a team. And then I didn't know this, but this is what I found out. Each one of your eyeballs sees images slightly differently. And something happens in your brain when you have 20/20 vision. There's a process of fusion that actually takes two images that you see differently through each eye, and it blends them together into one three-dimensional picture. And so God's going to bring our eyes together. It's like in, you know, with husbands and wives. Come on now. Wives have been praying forever. God, let my husband just see the way that I see. Let him see the way that I see. Come on now. You know, usually it's the wife that's got the prophetic eye anyway. Come on. And the man's eye is out of alignment. So here, we were talking about this yesterday. I said, honey, I said, God's going to bring our eyes together as a team in 2020, and we're going to see the same thing at the same time. It's called fusion, baby. It's called, take some notes now, honey. It's called fusion. Our eyes are coming together, and I prophesy, our eyes coming together. Some of you marriages need to pray that your eyes and your images, the way you see things, come together so that you could see the three-dimensional world exactly how it's supposed to be seen. Man, that's a word right there. Come on now. Give me eye coordination, God. Here's another one. Depth perception. Depth perception is the ability to see the world in three dimensions. There's depth the way we look at the world around us, the natural world. We can see three dimensions. But spiritually speaking, there's another dimension for you as a believer. There's a dimension beyond the three dimension, and it's the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is actually more real than the three dimensions we're in right now, this cube. There's another dimension, It's the spirit world. It's where angels are. It's where the promises of God have yet been manifested. It's where God lives in the three-dimensional world, even though God is everywhere all at once. But it's where God spoke the world, the three-dimensional world, into existence. And so 2020 vision for you and for me this year is we're going to have depth perception to see beyond the three-dimensional world into the fourth dimension where God is, where miracles happen. Come on now. Where miracles happen, where promises come alive and come to fruition. Come on now, God. Give me eyes to see in the fourth dimension. Give me depth perception in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me give you another one. How what measures visual acuity is focusing ability. I love this one. Focusing ability means that you have the ability to focus on something that's right in front of you. And you also have the ability to shift your eyes, focus on something very far in a distance without any change of blurriness in between. In other words, if I have 20/20 vision, I see absolute clarity right here in front of me. I can lift up my eyes immediately, see absolute clarity in the distance. Come on now. You see, some of us are nearsighted. Nearsighted means I can only see what's right in front of my eyes. I cannot see anything in the distance. Everything out there is blurry. Some of you are farsighted. You only see out there, but you can't see anything that's right here. Well, in 2020, we need both. We need the ability to be focused and see what's right in front of us, but we can open up our eyes and look ahead of us, and it's absolutely clear where we're going. We can see in the distance. Come on now. Forget about just being nearsighted. Forget about just being farsighted. We got to have both. Come on. We got to see what's happening here, and we got to see what's happening there, because if we don't see what's happening here, we'll never get over there. Why? Because you're blind to what's right in front of you. You're going to be like the man groping in the midday hour. Come on now. Some Christians, they just looking always in the future. They're always looking about and they're dreaming. You know what that's like? That's like just pipe dreams. If you're farsighted and you cannot see what's happening right here in front of you, you got pipe dreams. You can see it, but you'll never attain it. You'll never achieve it. You've got to see it right here, folks. Listen, you got to see it, because if you could see it here, you can make a plan. You could see the steps that you need to take in order to get to your goal. Come on now. If all you see is this right here, but it's foggy out there, you ain't never going to get there either. You got to have focus. Focusing ability is part of 2020 vision. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple of things that I'm going to make decrees on. We're going to do this together at the end of the service, but listen closely. 2020 vision means several things to us. Number one, it is a year to see everything clearly. It's a year to have sharpened vision. There is no success in life. Let's just tell it like it is. There is no success in life that just happens by chance. Unless you have a vision, let's get practical now. Unless you have a vision for your future, you will wander aimlessly without direction. You must have the ability to see in your future. 2020 vision, God is going to allow us to see some things beyond our present moment. Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. There it is right there. And perish means you're just spinning your wheels. You're just going around in circles. There's no momentum. There's no moving forward. There's no achievements. You've got to have vision. The children of Israel missed their destiny, wandered around in circles in the wilderness for 40 years because they were nearsighted. They only could see what was right in front of them. They had no focusing ability. They could not see in the future. They missed their destiny. Not me. Not me. I ain't missing my destiny. I'm going to see right here, and I'm going to see out there, and I'm going to have vision for my future. Come on now. And so you cannot be a person of faith unless you have the ability to see beyond the present moment, because faith is the substance of things that are hoped for in the future. And so God wants to give us a clear vision. Without it, we'll perish. We will never take our promised land without clear and sharp vision for our future. So I declare now, if not for you, it's for me. The storm of 2019 has passed. 2020 will be a bright day for me. Things that were foggy and obscure will become crystal clear now in 2020, because clarity and sharpness of vision belongs to me as a son of God, in Jesus' name. Number two, it's the year to hit the bullseye. Come on now. This is the year that we shoot and we hit the mark. Come on now. You know, in archery, everything has to do with vision skills that we've been talking about. In other words, if you're going to hit the bullseye, you need visual acuity. You need that peripheral awareness, the eye coordination, the ability to focus and see things clearly in the distance. Come on now. In order to hit your mark, you need 20/20 vision. So I decree, if not for you, for me, no wasted arrows in 2020. This is the year I'm going to hit the bullseye in Jesus' name. Come on. Listen to this real quick. It's the year in 20/20 vision. It's the year to uproot distractions. Everybody knows that distractions waste your time. They cause your vision to be foggy. You cannot see clearly. You forget why you're doing what you're doing. And so if we're going to have clear vision in 2020, we've got to identify and we've got to remove distractions from our life. Distractions will either mislead you or it'll keep you standing still, wasting time, just spinning your wheels. Identify and remove distractions. If not for you, for me. God, in the name of Jesus, give me the strength and the courage to remove all distractions in my life in 2020 that I may hit the mark in Jesus' name. Amen. Two more quick ones. Are you ready? It's the year for the light to shine. Now, this is good. This is a good thing for everyone, even when it doesn't feel good. It's the mercies of God that He would shine His light for us. He shines His light because He wants us to see clearly. We've said it before. And we're not the only ones saying it. It's being spoken all throughout the body of Christ. 2020 is the year of exposure. It's a year the light is going to shine. And you follow me for a second, because exposure means revelation, or light that shines to reveal something that's concealed. It's the year for the shining light. Why? Because light reveals what darkness tries to hide. I found this verse of scripture this week. Never saw it like this. Ephesians 5:13. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. This ain't Old Testament. This ain't the Achan story. This is New Testament. But evil intentions or darkness will be exposed when the light shines on them. Talking about people. For the light makes everything visible. In Luke chapter 8:17, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open. And we shared about this verse, but look it. And everything that is concealed will be brought to the light and will be made known to everyone. And so, yes, it's a year of light shining, exposure coming. For some, it's uncomfortable. For some, it's very hard. For others, it's the greatest blessing that could ever happen, that God would shine light so that we could see clearly. And so we saw this exposure in the story of Achan when Israel was defeated at Ai. Achan hid under his tent that which he stole. But God comes on the scene and God exposed the whole thing. Come on now. God, do you know that was an act of love? That was an act of mercy when you think about it? Because it had to do with the whole community. The whole community was affected. And in God's mercy, he exposed what a man was trying to hide. He exposed it. The divine light came and bam, it's open for everyone to see. You know the story. So I say that to say light is coming to the darkness. And here, this is how serious it is. We either come to the light or the light is coming to us. And when the light comes to us, it gets exposed before everyone. But when we come to the light, oh, it's so much better. When we come out of hiding, when we take what is in secret and we bring it out into the light, how much better is that than the light coming after us? Either way, in 2020, the light is going to shine in the name of Jesus for the sake of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. My God, my God, my God. We need to have faith like David. He prayed the prayer in Psalm 139. He said, Lord, let the light shine so that you can show me myself. David wanted to come to the light. He understood there's a difference when you come to the light or when the light comes to you. There's a difference. He said, Lord, let me see what's inside of myself. Talk about humility. Show me, Lord, what's inside of me. Show me, Lord, if there's any offensive, wicked, or dark way in me, God. Let your light shine. If not for you, I'll say it for me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, shine your light inside of me. I come to the light and I want to see the offensive, broken way in me. Show me, Lord, where it is that I could bring it to your cross and to your light so that you could make me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you this one here because this is not an extra one, but it's really the same, an exposure that I believe in 2020, God's going to shine the light on the enemy's plans, assignments, and plots that are already being assigned against you in 2020. Now, how can I say that? Because Jeremiah 11:18 says this, because the Lord revealed their plots to me, I knew it. He's talking about his enemy's plots. Because the Lord revealed to me the assignments of what was taking place in secret. Here's exposure, man. When the Lord showed me what the enemy was up to, I knew it. For at that time, he showed me what they were about to do. Come on now. God, if not for you, for me. God, in the name of Jesus, let the light shine on my enemy's assignments and plots, that they would come to the light and be exposed, that I would not be found unaware, that I would not be taken by surprise. Bring it out in the open, God, in the name of Jesus, that I would live in victory and not defeat. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last one, very quickly. 2020 vision means, very quickly, it means this is going to be a year of the open mouth. Why would I say that? What does that have to do with vision? Because what the eye sees, the mouth must speak. What the eyes see, if you know anything about faith, you got to understand it has to do with what you see. It has to do with what you say. It has to do with what you do. If you got one of those three missing, you ain't getting nothing. You got to see it. But then you have to have enough courage to say what you see and decree it and declare it. If it's only in private, let it out of your mouth. Let it out into the atmosphere. You cannot, let me tell you right now, faith operates by seeing something first and saying it and then seizing it. You got to see it, you got to say it, and you've got to go after it. You got to put some feet to what you're seeing and what you're saying. It's not enough to just say what you see. You got to be ready to go after it. You got to be ready to seize it. Come on now. If you really want it to manifest, you got something to do with this thing. You got to do more than dream a dream. Come on now. You got to have a dream. But after you see the dream clearly, you got to rise up and you got to decree that I see it and this is mine. And then you got to put some faith to your feet and you got to make this thing happen. With God's grace, it's going to come to fruition in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you this, faith unspoken dies unborn. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit because they saw what was in the secret place. We've been hearing this over and over. God's bringing us back to the secret place. Back to the secret place. Remember Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. In the secret place, God allowed him to see things. Vision. Come on now. You want vision? Get in the presence of Jesus. Stay in the presence of the Lord. Ask God to give you eyes to see. Let God show you some things about your future. Let God show you some things about yourself. Let God shine the light in the presence of God. And what you see in secret, you decree and declare publicly, whether it's privately in your life, you let it out of your mouth. That's what I mean. You let it out of your mouth. You decree what you see. And in the name of Jesus, those desires will begin to manifest in this decade, even in this new year of 2020. You've got to see it, you've got to say it, and you've got to seize it in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet because 2020, here we come, here we come, 2020, here we come. We're going to make this our faith decree right now. This is our faith decree. And if you mean business with this, say it with faith right now. Come on now. Say today, I decree that 2020 will be a year of 2020 vision. My eyes will be open and my sight will be restored. Come on, in Jesus' name. So I was making these confessions. Now we're doing it together. Come on now. Say, I decree. This is the year that I will see everything clearly. Give him some keyboard, man. My vision will be clear. And my focus will be sharp. And that which was foggy and obscure in 2019 will become crystal clear. In 2020, in the name of Jesus. Come on now, say this. I decree that this is the year. With 2020 vision, I will hit the bullseye. No wasted arrows in 2020. Come on now, in Jesus' name. Come on now, say this. I decree this is the year that I will identify, I will remove all distractions from my life. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, like a warrior, decree this. I decree this is the year for the light to shine and expose the darkness. Let it begin in me. No, 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 say it again. Let it begin in me. In Jesus' name. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. We're going to say what we mean. If you don't mean it, don't say it. In fact, I want to say this one again. Say, I decree, go back, that this year is the year for the light to shine and expose the darkness. Let it begin in me. Oh, yeah, in Jesus' name. Come on now, come on now. I decree this is the year that God will reveal to me the wicked assignments of my enemies in the name of Jesus. I am prepared. I am ready. 2020, here I come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on now. Woo! Come on now. Give somebody a high five. Come on now. I want you to be seated for a moment. Woo! Come on, be seated for a moment. Let's take care of business right here. We've been talking about this and preparing the body for the last offering of 2020, the last offering of the decade. And this offering's different because this is a setting the tone offering for a new year. And there's been so much preparation coming into this new year. And I've been giving you this announcement. Some of you are going to sow a seed that is a seed of faith. It's faith. It's not just a seed. It's just a seed. It's a seed of faith where it's requiring you to have faith to sow the seed. But it's going to set the expectation of 2020. The expectation that you have. What is the greatest thing you're looking for? If you could identify it in one word for the year 2020. One word, two words maybe. When you put your offering in here, this goes for anybody who's giving on the NBCC app, you're giving by text, it doesn't matter, you're giving online. Everybody use this envelope. In fact, if you don't have this, lift up a hand because an usher's going to quickly pass you one. Everybody gets it. Whether you give on the app or you're giving by check or cash or whatever, take the envelope. Fill the envelope out. What is your faith offering? Turn the envelope around and you put with one word or two words. God knows what it is, but make an act of faith. An act of faith. This is an action. You're writing something down on a piece of paper. It's an act of faith. What is your expectation for 2020? You can put a sentence if you want. My wife and I talked about this last night. What is our personal expectation for 2020? Man, I got the chills right there. We have bam right there. Maybe that's for me. Or I don't know. Maybe it's for all of us. Maybe it's for us. Maybe it's for all of us. But put it down. Because this offering of faith, this offering of faith is going to release the promise over your life for your greatest expectation in 2020. Go ahead, take a moment and do it. If you're giving by the NBCC app, again, even if you're giving by the app, write it down, write the amount, put your word in the back. If you're giving by the app, make sure you do the memo. There's a part that says setting the tone 2020. Mark that, check that box if you're giving by the app. The Welcome Center is open after the service. If you want to give at the Clover tablet, you could do the same thing. You can give by text if you want or just regular right now, but you should have come prepared already. Let's go ahead and honor the Lord with this offering. I want the ushers to come and bring the buckets down. If you're ready, let's stand to our feet. If you're still taking care of business, that's fine. If you're ready, stand to your feet. Put your hand on this baby right here. This is more about an offering. This is about a new year for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this seed come alive. Let this faith seed come alive. For a great expectation of faith in 2020, breakthroughs and miracles and promises be made manifest. A desire fulfilled is like a tree of life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. This sets the tone for a new year. We are ready. We're equipped. We are prepared. Our hearts have been adjusted. We are ready, Lord, to take on this new year with your help, with your grace, with your guidance, with your strength and your power and your courage. In Jesus' name, we sow this seed in faith. The last seed of 2019, the last seed of this decade. And Father, we thank you for cracking open 2020 for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you agree, say amen and amen. Come on down and drop that down right now. Go ahead and do it. Drop it down right now. Come on. Come on, as you're dropping it off, pray in the Holy Ghost. It leaves your hand, but it ain't leaving your life. Something is going to manifest in your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the generosity of your people. Thank you for the ways that we honor you with our finances, oh God. Lord, crack open this new year. Crack open this decade for the people of God, the sons and the daughters of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will never be the same again. We're going to leave 2019 behind. We're going to leave the past 10 years, the decade we leave behind, in the name of Jesus. We are ready, God. We are ready, Lord. We thank you. We honor you that we will take our land in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on now. God bless you. We love you. If you're still working on that, that's fine. The rest of you, you can be dismissed. We'll see you Tuesday, New Year's Eve. Remember, powerful, impactful service, 8 o'clock s'mores. That's going to be a powerful time too. If you want some s'mores, come 8:30. Doors open at 10 o'clock. Bring somebody along with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Be blessed.